So, dear brothers, last time we studied about the most holy faith. So, we have seen how the discipline has to be maintained in the church as per the Bible. How, whatever the apostles have bound in a discipline manner, it is like God binding and dictating those terms as discipline in the church. So, dear brethren, so we have seen various liberties also that is granted in the church, and we also studied how Satan infiltrated the false doctrines into the church and tried to corrupt the church. You see, so today we are going to study the tabernacle arrangement. You see, while studying the Old Testament, we would have studied the tabernacle arrangement. You see how the temple of God, you see, in the wilderness was built. You see how it had a court, a brazen altar was there, you see, upon which the sacrifices were made, and how the laver was there after the sacrifices, the priest and the high priest used to wash themselves. And we also, you see, have read how there is a holy and a most holy place, and all these things. You see how the rituals were made, the sacrifices were done, the incense were offered, you see, the blood was sprinkled. So, dear brethren, sometimes we wonder what is the meaning of all these things. Some meaning we would have understood generally like that. But today, we are going to see in detail, you see, about this tabernacle, the outline about God's divine plan. When God, you see, told to Moses to build this tabernacle, he told Moses to build exactly, you see, as God had showed him without any mistake. And any small, even minute, you see, changes or mistake, the penalty would be death. Because God was so strict regarding this building of the tabernacle, because it resembled the things in heaven, dear brethren. Therefore, the penalty was death. So before going to the study of how the construction offerings were made, first of all, we need to study why God ever gave this tabernacle arrangements. Because this tabernacle arrangements was something similar to what today they have in the other religions. You see the temple, may they offer sacrifices and all these things and all. So, why God ever gave this tabernacle arrangement? Because God had given the law through Moses. And the law was so powerful that if any man kept the law without even breaking at least one of the commandments, if he kept all the law, he could live forever. He could attain eternal life. The law had so much of power in it. Let us read Galatians 3:12. Abhishek brother, can you read Galatians 3:12?
Okay, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
The man that doeth them shall live in them. You see, the law. The man that doeth the law, he shall live, he shall not die. So much of power the law had in it. But unfortunately, none of the Israel people could keep the perfect law because it was made for perfect man. And all these people were sinners. You see, they were all fallen in sin. How much ever they tried to attempt to keep the law, they could not keep it because they were already fallen into sin. Romans 8:3, that's what it says. You see, because of the weakness of the flesh, law could not succeed. Hence, if law was a failure, then what is the use of giving the law? Hence, God made an arrangement where the people of Israel could continuously try to keep the law year after year, year after year, and thus come to God. You see, hence, this tabernacle arrangement was made where there the people of Israel could come to God and offer sacrifices for the sin and get reconciled to God. And these sacrifices were offered in advance. For the coming year, whatever sins they were supposed to do, all those things were paid in advance. You see, so that the entire coming year they may keep the law. That is the reason God gave this tabernacle arrangement. Okay, now coming to the construction of this tabernacle, how it was constructed, what material were used, what is the length, what is the breadth, what is the size. All the details is given to us in Exodus 25th chapter to Exodus 27th chapter. You see, dear brethren, the entire construction is there. So after the class, I request you to please go through the Bible so that you can understand what clearly we tell. And the sacrifices, the performance, how the sacrifices were given. You see what type of sacrifices were given, in what way it was given, how things has to be done. All those things is given to us in Exodus 35 chapter to verse 40, chapter 40, performance. So this is the basic tabernacle outline. It had a court which was 150 feet in length and 75 feet in breadth. That was called as a court. Inside the court, you see, there was a tabernacle proper. You see, and that was made of, you see, the length of it was 45 feet, and the breadth was 15 feet, and the height was 15 feet. This was called as a tabernacle proper. This tabernacle proper was again divided into two compartments, one holy, another the most holy. The most holy was exactly 15 feet height, 15 feet length, and 15 feet breadth. So it was a perfect cuboid. You see? And the holy place was 15 feet height, 15 feet breadth, and it was 30 feet in length. And this entire tabernacle structure, all the materials, was composed of one wood that is called as acacia wood or sittim wood. We would have read in the Bible, you see, why did God particularly choose this wood? Because this wood had aromatic, you see, sense in it, and it was not so easily, you see, corrupted or infected with insects, and it was a very durable wood. Hence, God told the people of Israel to use this particular wood. And the pillars were made like this, and it was plated with gold. It was not completely made with gold, but it was completely covered, you see, with the golden plates. Why did God make the people of Israel only to cover with golden plates? God could have made it with solid gold. No, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they brought all the wealth. They could have used solid gold, yes, surely, but the specific gravity of gold when compared to all the metals, is very, very high. What do you mean by that one, the specific gravity? Dear brethren, if you see, weigh a 10 gram gold on one side and place a 10 gram iron on the other side, you see, the specific gravity, the gravitational pull of gold is much higher than compared to all the other metals. Therefore, you see, we all know very well that Israel's tabernacle was a temporary construction which God had gave them in the wilderness. Whenever they had to travel, they have to dismantle this entire tabernacle and take it to other place. And it was supposed to be taken particularly the way God had told them, on a bullock cart. Imagine if the entire pillars were made of solid gold, such height, length, breadth, and all, it would be very difficult. It would get stuck in the sand, and such a holy things were not supposed to be, you see, fall on the ground. So hence God, instead of making it of pure gold, told to make it of acacia wood and cover it with gold plates. And these pillars were placed next to each other, you see, and they were joined together, and they were placed inside, you see, chapiters, that is called as silver chapiters in the Bible. So these each and every pillar had a, you see, had a groove, and this was plucked, you see, plugged inside the chapiters, the silver chapiters that was actually buried in the ground. You see, as we can see here, the chapters were initially buried in the ground, and each and every chapters had a socket inside which these pillars are exactly, you see, placed and locked so that it may not move. So once all the pillars were placed, you see, the golden rods were pierced into it so that even come wind or rain or anything, see, nothing should happen to the tabernacle. You can see even in the video also, you see, this is how actually the tabernacle was constructed. It was placed in silver chapiters, and each and every pillars were interlocked, you see, with golden rods, you see, into the grooves, so that it might not shake. And in between also, the rods were pierced. So it is to give the strength for the entire structure. So, dear brethren, so this tabernacle proper, as we told you, it was divided into two parts, the holy and the most holy. In between the most holy and the holy, and between the holy and the court, there was few pillars that was placed upon which the veil was placed. Veil was made of what type of material? If you see, it was made of a linen cloth designed with a cherubs, you see, picture, with only three particular color thread, that is blue, scarlet, and purple. Using these threads, you see, the cherub was designed on this white linen cloth. This is how the veil was supposed to be look, you see. And it was placed at the first veil and the second veil. You see, and the entire tabernacle proper was covered with actually four types of materials. You see, the one, as we told you, was like the veil made of the same material, you see. And the second one was you see, a goat's hair, you see. And the third one was a goat's hair dyed red, you see. And on the top of it, you see, the badger skin. Okay, so these were the four layers that were used, you see. And the second layer was actually the ram's skin, you see. So this was how it was completely covered, you see, the tabernacle proper was covered. And the court, you see, the court was completely covered with a white linen cloth, which was almost 7 feet in height. You see, dear brethren, it was almost 7 feet in height. It was completely covered. And this one, again, you see, that court, which had pillars all around, was made up of acacia wood, but here it was placed in copper chapiters, you see, and copper sockets, you see. And again, each and every pillar was bound, you see, and locked to the ground by using silver metal strings. You see, silver strings were used, and silver nails were used to root it to the ground. And this tabernacle had only one gate. Again, the gate was of the same material that was made out of first veil and second veil. That is, it was made of a white linen cloth. Again, the cherubs were designed upon it. And very much far from this tabernacle was Israel's camp. None of the Israel people were allowed to come so near to it. Their camp was very quite outside. So as soon as somebody enters this tabernacle, the first thing that came before their eyes was a brazen altar. The brazen altar was 4.5 feet height, 7.5 feet width, It was so used that it is to attract the attention of the person who came inside the tabernacle. And upon this brazen altar itself, the priest is to sacrifice, you see, the bullocks, the goats, to offer sin offerings to God. And as we move a little bit further beyond this altar, we see that there was a laver, you see, and this laver, there was water inside it, and there was a small jug that used to be with it for a support to, you see, take the water out from the laver. So this laver, the priest, after offering the sacrifices, used it, you see, to cleanse his hands. Dear brethren, and as we come a little bit further, we have the first chamber that is called as the holy. And as we get inside the holy, there are three things that are seen in the holy. First, you see, is the table of the shewbread, where six and six loaves are placed upon this table, you see. And upon the six and six loaves of bread, a fist full of incense was placed upon this bread, on the top of the bread. And this bread was replaced every Sabbath day. You see, and priest was supposed to eat this holy bread every week. So, this is how the table of the shewbread was made. Again, here the table of shewbread was made of acacia wood and gold plated. Dead opposite to this, exactly opposite to this, was the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick was again made of pure gold. We saw all the other materials were made of, you see, brass, and it was made of wood and covered with brass or gold. But here, the golden candlestick was made out of pure gold, you see. And the high priest used to come and trim the, you see, lamp every morning and evening. And his duty was to keep the lamp burning 24 hours. And he had to remove all, you see, the twigs, the dirts, you see, after the burning. They're supposed to come and clean it morning and evening and fill it fresh with oil so it may burn brightly. And between these two, very close to the second veil, was a golden incense altar. Upon this altar, you see, the priest used to offer incense, which passed beyond the second veil and entered into the most holy, and that was a pleasing sacrifice to God. So, okay. So, if you go behind this holy, we come to the most holy. The only one thing that is made as a scene in the most holy is that it had only one item, the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was made up of two, you see, things. One, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. The mercy seat was there, and below the Ark of the Covenant was there. Here again, the Ark of the Covenant was made of wood and covered with gold. Inside this, there were three things that were placed. The Ten Commandments, the Moses, which you received from God, and the manna, where people of Israel used to eat every day. It was placed in a golden pot, and Aaron's buttered rod, which used to never dry. And the manna that kept in the golden pot used to never rot. So these things were placed inside, you see, the Ark of the Covenant. So let us read Hebrews 9, chapter 4 to 5. It is given to us in Hebrews 9, chapter 4 to 5. Stephen, brother, can you read Hebrews 9, chapter 4 to 5?
One minute, brother. Hebrews
9:4 and 5.
Yes. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, containing the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark were the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the Ark were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat, but we cannot discuss these things in detail now.
Okay, thank you, brother. So upon this one was the mercy seat. The mercy seat was made of pure gold, a single piece pure gold. It had two cherubs, you see, that were actually seeing each other, facing each other, and seeing the mercy seat where the Shekinah glory is to shine, as if ready to fly. Dear brethren, so this mercy seat was the only thing that was made of pure gold in the most holy. And the high priest, once a year, used to come and sprinkle the blood, you see, as an atonement for the entire people of Israel, you see, upon this mercy seat. And there used to be a Shekinah glory that was shining on this mercy seat. Okay, now, you see, what is the meaning of all these things? Dear brethren, we know that what all written in the Old Testament, the law, you see, the tabernacle arrangement, you see, everything, it was a shadow of the things in heaven. Let us read Hebrews 8 chapter verse 1 to 5. Sai Jupiter, can you read Hebrews 8 chapter 1 to 5?
Yes, sir. Now, the main point of what we are saying is we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.
So, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. So, all these things are the shadow of heavenly things, you see. And the real image is of Christ. Colossians 2:17. Binod brother, can you read Colossians 2:17?
Okay, sir. Colossians 2:17. Which are a shadow of thing to come, but the body of Christ.
See,
amen.
The body is of Christ. Read also Hebrews 10:1, brother. Hebrews 10:1.
Okay, sir. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifice which they offer year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect.
See,
amen.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come, it was just a shadow of the real things to come. So in the New Testament, everything had a meaning. So what is the meaning of this tabernacle? First of all, if you see, the metals used in the tabernacle were only almost two items in the tabernacle proper. You see, one was gold, other was copper. Now what is the meaning of this one? You see, gold actually is the one of the, you see, purest of all the metals. You see, it can be said it is very costly metal compared to all the metals. So what does this represent? This represents the divine nature which God himself is having. And the other metal that was used in the tabernacle was copper or brass. Copper or brass looks exactly like gold, but it's not gold. Like, for example, people wear gold wrist watches. It's not gold. It is made up of copper or brass, but it much resembles the original gold. That represents the human nature. Therefore, we read in the Bible how man was created, how human being was created. He was created in the image of God. Copper or brass is in the image of gold. Similarly, man was created in the image of God. And the two metals here signifies the heavenly salvation and the earthly salvation. You see, we have studied from beginning, God has a plan. In that plan, there are two salvations. Isn't it? We studied in the subject of gospel. Two salvations are there. One is the earthly salvation, one is heavenly salvation. Those who believe in Jesus now can attain heavenly salvation. But what of the general world who never accepted Jesus as a savior? They also will be saved, but only for the earthly salvation. That is what these two metals in the tabernacle signify. And the camp was quite far from this tabernacle. So what does that signify? If you see, that represents the world. The world were very far from God. They are never near to God at all, the brethren. That is the world. But if they have to come to God, if they have to go inside the tabernacle and have fellowship with God, the one thing they have to do is that they have to go cross beyond this court. This court had white linen cloth, you see. So you need to go beyond that white linen cloth, that wall of, the court. Then only can you come and have fellowship with God. Now, what does the white linen cloth in the Bible mean? White linen cloth in the Bible means righteousness of the saints. Justification, the righteousness which we attain by accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. Read Revelation 19:8. Abhishek Budhar, can you read Revelation 19:8?
Yes, I will read. And to her was granted that she could be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
See, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, dear brethren. So, the linen cloth is the righteousness which we receive after believing in Jesus, the justification. The wall of faith has to be crossed to come inside and have fellowship with God. Hence, the whole world is very far from God, you see. And to come inside this tabernacle, how many gates was there? There was only one gate. Now, who is that gate? There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. That is Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator. Without Jesus or except Jesus, no man can approach into God. Read Acts 4:12. Emmanuel brother, can you read Acts 4:12?
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
There is no other name given for man to be saved. There is no other name than the name of Jesus Christ, dear brethren. You see, and Jesus is the only gate. Brother, read John 10:9 also.
In John 10:9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture.
See, I am the gate. Jesus is the only gate. There is no other gate than Jesus. So, once if we come through Jesus, there are three places. You see, first is the court. Second is the holy. Third is the most holy. Now, what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth and life, dear brethren. So Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth to God. Jesus is the life who gives the same life which God himself is having. So John 14:6, we know all this verse very clearly. So dear brethren, As soon as we come inside the court, the first thing which we see before our eyes is a big brazen altar. You see, upon this one, the sacrifices were made. It was made up of brass, again made up of wood and covered with brass. You see, the brass always represents the perfect human nature. Here, the sacrifices were made that represents Jesus came to this earth as a perfect human being and offered himself as a sacrifice to God. John the Baptist, seeing Jesus, he said, "Now, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." Read John 1:29. Binod, brother, can you read John 1:29?
Okay, sir. John 1:29. The next day, John said, "Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world."
See, okay. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So Jesus took not only our sins, but took the sins of the entire world. He did not die only for Christians, dear brother. When he died, there was no Christians at all. He died for the entire world. 1 Timothy 4:10. Raj brother, can you read 1 Timothy 4:10? Is it possible?
Brother, sorry brother, I just forget to my class to bring in Bangalore. It is in Bangalore only.
Okay. Saiji brother, can you read 1 Timothy 4:10?
Yes, brother. And that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the savior of all people, and especially of those who believe.
He is the savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So there are two salvations. So this brazen altar represents a ransom sacrifice of Jesus, which he gave for the entire mankind. And as we come a little bit further, we have the laver there. So in the laver, there was a lot of water. This water was used as cleansing. You see, to cleanse is outward dirt after offering sacrifices to God. Now, what does that water represents? Water in the Bible represents the word of God, which actually a Christian uses to cleanse himself and become pure, so that he can see his reflection and correct himself. How does a man correct himself? By taking heed to the word of God. Psalms 119. You see, read Ephesians 5:26. Stephen brother, can you read Ephesians 5:26?
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
The washing of the water by the word. So, it was washing of water by the word. This is how we cleanse ourselves, isn't it? Daily, when we read the word of God, it shows our mistakes. What do we do? What should we do? We should cover it ourselves. And to take this water, this small, you see, jug that is given. So what is that one? That is a support to understand the word of God. Like these classes, you see, where we are able to understand in-depth Bible study, the clear knowledge of God. You see, so these things are necessary to cleanse ourselves. So, in James, you see, Apostle James tells, it is not only good that you hear the word of God, you should be a good practicer of the word of God. You see, James, 1st chapter, 22 to 25. James, 1st chapter, 22 to 25. Emmanuel, brother, can you read James 1, 22 to 25?
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
You see? So, we should not be just hearers of the word of God. We should be doers of it. So, as we cross this laver, you see, and we come to the holy place. So, dear brethren, in this court, who were actually she permitted to go into the court. If you see, not every Israelites can go. It was only the Levites who were permitted inside the court. But where the Levites allowed to go inside the holy? No, it was the priest who were only allowed to go inside the holy. What was the difference between the priest and the Levi? You see, the Levites never sacrificed to God. They only supported. But the priest were the people who were actually sacrificed to God. Only these had access to go to the holy. Now, what does that represent, sir? Just by being a believer in this world, that is not sufficient. We should be followers of Christ. And how do we become a follower of Christ? Just by not believing Jesus, we need to take a further step. You see, what is the step? You know, we need to go to the holy. Now, how to go to the holy? Can we just open the veil like a door curtain and go? No, dear brother. And the veil of the, you see, tabernacle was 5 inches thick, almost like a bed. You see, it was not so easy to just open it and go. We need to lift it up and pass under it and go. What does this represent, sir? Jesus said, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. That is the condition. We need to, you see, submit ourselves, bow ourselves, humble ourselves, leave out all the selfishness. You see, deny yourself. You see, then carry the cross. Take responsibility for Christ's sake. Take risk for Christ's sake. Follow the footsteps of Jesus, dear brethren. So this was a thing, you see, a person had to do, had to bow down, you see, and go. Now, what did Apostle Paul say? You see, Apostle Paul said, no, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Sage Jupiter, can you read Romans 12, 1 and 2?
Yes, sir. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
See?
Do not...
Continue. Please read. Please read.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is.
Very good, brother. So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Then only you will be able to understand what God's will is. You see, dear brethren, this important step, you see, we have to take. Then only we come inside the holy. Now, holy is a very beautiful thing to see. The entire wall of the holy was made out of pure gold. And all the things were made of pure gold. You see, there was no sun rays coming inside the holy. Outside there was sun rays, but here inside nothing, only gold. The only light that came in the holy passed through that candlestick. You see? And dead opposite to the candlestick was the table of the shewbread. You see? And the golden candlestick, the light used to glow 24 hours. Just imagine, the entire room is made of pure gold. If a light, how it will shine, it will glitter and shine brightly. That's very beautiful to see it. And the priest, whenever he came inside the holy, morning and evening, he used to trim it, he used to pour the oil. What does the oil mean in the Bible? Oil means Holy Spirit in the Bible. They used to anoint the priest, the kings. You see, that represents the anointing oil which God uses as the Holy Spirit. So, if we need to get more Holy Spirit, we need to trim ourselves. Take out all the filth. You see, daily what we should do? We should take out all the filth from the lamp, isn't it? You see, it has to be trimmed. The black, the twigs has to be cleaned. The black things has to be removed. Then it will shine brightly. If we clean ourselves only, God will give us more Holy Spirit, or else we will give the Holy Spirit. You see, and that opposite to this one, was the table of the shewbread. You see, the table was there and it had 6 and 6 loaves. So 6 and 6 means how much? 66. That is the word of God. Hence, the Bible has only 66 books. You see, placed next to each other, Old Testament and New Testament. Upon this one, you see, there was, you see, what do you say, a fistful of incense. You see, this was placed dead opposite to the candlestick. What does it mean? It is through the Holy Spirit that we are able to understand the Bible. Without Holy Spirit, we can't understand the Bible at all, dear brethren. You see, therefore, the Holy Spirit, where God has kept us, it is kept inside this old vessel. It will be a leaky vessel. It will be keeping on going daily. We need to fill it again and again and again and again. You see, read 2 Corinthians 4:7. Binod brother, can you read 2 Corinthians 4:7?
Okay, sir. So, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have these treasures in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us.
Amen. See, we have this treasure in the earthen vessel. In this earthen vessel, God has kept this Holy Spirit here. So it will keep on leaking, but we need to fill it up daily. Hence, Bible says, be you filled with the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. How do you fill with the Holy Spirit? Not just kneel down and pray. God doesn't give the Holy Spirit just like that from heaven. We need to study the Word of God. You see, the more and more we study the Word of God, we cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness, we are filled more and more of God's Spirit. Since we can understand more and more of God's words. Therefore, without Holy Spirit, the Bible cannot be understood at all. The high priest used to come every day, morning and evening, he used to trim the lamp. After trimming the lamp, what he used to do? He used to go to the table of the showbread, take a fist of that, you see, the incense in his hand, and he used to go and burn it upon the incense altar. And the smoke used to pass and go beyond the second veil, which was a sweet smelling aroma to God. Now, what does that represent, sir? Daily, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, we understand more and more of the Word of God, and we develop certain bit of character. And you know how that character is tested? That is tested when you are put into fire. You see, if we are put into fire, and if our character is burning, that clearly shows that our character is not built upon the solid foundation. It's very burning easily. But if it sustains, that brings a sweet smelling aroma to God, which is very, very pleasing to God. So daily, from morning till evening, we have trials, no? In spite of praying early in the morning, we have trials. Morning till evening, we have a lot of trials and temptations. No need to worry. It's not permitted by God. This is the fiery trials which test us. You see, but if we pass, we will receive the crown of life. Read James 1:12. Stephen brother, can you read James 1:12?
James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Blessed is the man who endureth temptation. When he is tried, when he is tested, when he passes, he will receive the crown of life, dear brethren. So that will be pleasing to God. You know, if the high priest had to go, you see, into the most holy, he had to go only once a year, you see, and that too after putting lot of incense. That incense has to cover the most holy, it seems. So similarly, before we go to God in heaven, our life should be first of all pleasing to God here itself. Here itself, if our life is not pleasing to God, if that doesn't bring glory or incense to God, where can we go to most holy and live with God? You see, hence every Christian thing is, as soon as he dies, he goes to heaven. Where everybody can go to heaven with such mentality. We need to be holy. A life which is pleasing to God. That is the most holy. There was a Shekinah glory always. That is God's presence. If we are going to God's presence, how? You see, how should we be? We should be in the likeness of Christ. So in the most holy, there was only one item. That is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. What is there in the Ark of the Covenant? Three things were there. You see, what does that represent? You see, first, the golden pot with manna, Aaron's butter rod, and the law. Now, what does these three represent? It's very simple. The manna, which was outside, that got corrupted. It was stayed only till one day. Next day, it got corrupted. You see, there was no use of storing the manna. So what does this represent? Our life, which is now, it is of no use. You see, it's not a permanent life. It's not an immortal life. It gets corrupted. But the life which Jesus has promised, the life which God has promised, is immortal life, a life where there is no death at all. Read Revelation 2:17. Sahaja Buddha, can you read Revelation 2:17?
Yes, brother. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives.
See? Hidden manna, the immortal nature, dear brethren. And there was Aaron's butter rod. Now, what is this Aaron's butter rod? You know, there was a grumbling that happened in the camp of Israel. Everybody grumbled how only Aaron is chosen as the priesthood. We are also chosen. So Moses told, okay, bring everybody one on almond rod. We'll keep it in the tabernacle. So whose rod is better in the morning? We will decide that they are the chosen priesthood. So you know what happened? Everybody kept the rod, but only Aaron's was budded and it flowered and that fruit also. That was a sign of a chosen priesthood. So similarly, what are we? We are royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Emmanuel brother, can you read 1 Peter 2:9?
First Peter 2:9. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the priest of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
See, a chosen priesthood, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. So that represents the priesthood. And the third thing was the law. No, who actually studies the law? You see, it is the lawyer, the judges. Who are expert in the law, no? So law, the tablets represents that we are going to be judges. So we should be expert. Expert because the word of God should be within us. So the church who are going to be with Jesus, they have to have these three qualifications. One, the divine nature, God is going to give them. They're going to be kings and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. They're going to be the royal chosen priesthood through whom the whole world will be reconciled to God. The third one, they're going to be judges. They judge the whole world for 1,000 years. Read Revelation 20, verse 6. Binod brother, can you read Revelation 20, verse 6? Okay. Abhishek brother, can you read?
Okay, I'll read. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
See? They shall be priests of God and of Christ and they shall reign with him for 1,000 years, dear brethren. So this is the blessing which God has given to the church, dear brethren. So this, upon this one was a Shekinah glory, God's presence. It was of one piece. You see, that represents the oneness of God and Christ. You see, the four attributes of God, justice, power, love, wisdom, Everything is represented in this Ark of the Covenant. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, this is the outline, the general introduction about the tabernacle. You see, apart from this, a lot of complete detailed study, which God willing we may have in the future coming days also. You see, but before that one, you see, we need to prove our faithfulness to the truth. Isn't it? So, may God bless these words. If anybody has got any doubts, any questions, they can ask.